You will just be grateful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
In fact, formally, that matter is now in the hands of Eastern Cape themselves.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned it at the round table, so they apparently on board for next week.
Yeah. I'm just trying to assist you to push that they submit the presentation on time.
No, I'll speak to them after this meeting, and I will make contact with them today.
Okay, then it's fine. Yeah. Wherever necessary, I will be able to assist. I know Chantel is on leave, so we might have to find an alternative contact person.
Yeah, I can't remember if I invited. Yes, I did. I think I did invite the legislature chairperson of that committee. I'll just follow up. Because remember, he was part of the oversight when we were at
Japan. I know it's fine then. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
But thanks, thank you and your team for all the good work. And without you guys, it would have been a bit of a mess. But thanks for all those copies and the packs and stuff. And everything went off quite well. Thanks, man.
No, we appreciate all your support.
Okay, I'm just going to go off. I'll see you in a minute.
Sharp, Mr. Brown.
Thanks.
Morning, colleagues. Morning, Louis. Mr. Mahada.
Morning, Prashia. Prashia, Novuan.
Hey, Novuan, this is Divangel.
Morning, Prashia. Good morning, Prashia.
Hey, Dada.
How's it?
I'm blessed, Papa. I'm blessed.
All right. Good.
Tabitha. They've recovered from the trip, Mr. Brown.
Morning, Louis.
Morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
All right, man. Two apologies, Sukers and Kendra Choir so far, eh?
Two?
Yeah, Sukers and Kendra Choir.
Okay, fine. Okay.
All right.
Morning, Llewellyn.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
Good, not complaining, thanks.
Pleasure.
All right.
Morning, Llewellyn.
Morning, Chair.
Oh, I was testing this. Okay, then. Thank you.
I can hear you clearly, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thanks, then.
Chairperson, it's 9:30. Some members are still logging in. Maybe we should just give it another 5 minutes, perhaps.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Brown.
Good morning, Honorable Adwins. How are you doing?
I'm okay, and I see you're looking great. I don't have to ask.
Thank you, Honorable Adwins. I'm just waiting for one or two members to sign in. I'm not sure where. Oh, there we go.
I've just signed in.
Thank you, Honorable Principal.
How are you?
Always good, thank you.
No, we had this oversight. Thank you very much for the arrangement.
Thank you, Honorable Mashamar Shetla. Appreciate it. I had to also thank Mr. Mahada and his team for the good work on their side in hosting us.
Yeah, no, it all was well.
Chairperson, we have 5 members present. I know one or two is still on their way in. I'm not sure whether you would like to start at this point.
Hi, Mr. Brown. No, I think we can start.
Chair, you can go ahead.
All right. Morning, everybody. Morning to the Deputy Minister and the Director General and the team from DBE. I'm apologizing for this noise. Lenin, can we have apologies? I know we've got also the MEC of the Western Cape, right, in the meeting? And
yes,
him?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, can we have apologies,
sir? Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies from the Portfolio Committee side. I have Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo, who is in another meeting currently. I also have Honorable Sukers, who won't be able to join us, but she has sent me a short list of questions which you would like me to offer later in the meeting. I've also got the apology of the minister, who won't be able to be with us this morning due to an NCC meeting. And then from the Western Cape Education Department, Mr. Walters, the HOD, has also put in an apology. I believe he has to be in some interviews this morning. Chairperson, those are the apologies from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I probably just to explain to the members why do we have the MEC from the Western Cape. We got a request from the ACDP that they would actually want, just because of the discussion that we are having this morning, they would actually request that the Western Cape, because they got an information that Western Cape has not accommodated every learner. So if we can have them so that they are able to tell us what is the reason for that. I am welcoming you, MEC Shafa. Can you greet the people?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, good morning to all the members.
All right. Thank you very much, MEC. Members on the agenda, we've got only the item on the learner admission that will be done by the department. And then immediately when they are done, we would allow then the MEC from the Western Cape to brief us as well. I believe the briefing from the department would as well speak on the issues of the Western Cape. But because of the Western Cape has got learners that are still on the waiting list and they have not really been admitted, that is why we had to request them to be part of the meeting so that we can be able to interact with the MEC herself. And then after that, we would, after the deliberation, consider the minutes of the 16th and 17th of March. Can we then move for the agenda as presented? Can we get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair, adjourns.
Any seconder? Any seconder? Are people still in the meeting? Hi. Murotesa.
Chairperson, how are you?
Can you second, please?
No. I rise to second, Mama. I was still attending to some boys washing the car outside.
That's what I thought. People left the meeting. But anyway, be that as it may, can I request to do a political, I always say a political overview, to do a political overview, and then immediately you will be able then to give a person that will be able to lead the presentation. Thank you, DM.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you. Good morning to members. Good morning to MEC Schaefer. And good morning to DG and the entire team of Basic Education and Education in the Western Cape. Chair, thank you very much for this opportunity that you invited us to come and present on the admission in the public schools in South Africa. So what we can say is that admission is a bit problematic. Though we have policies in place, we have time frames, like all provinces will come up with their own time frames, that we open the admission from this period to this period, but we are disturbed by many other factors that are affecting the time frame that we have put for the admission. So movement of people from one province to another, and even within provinces, then all those will affect. Because by the time we think we have closed admission, then another family will move from where they applied for their children to another area. And at that time, the admission and registration is closed. And then that's why we established committees to deal with such matters, that in the event there are unforeseen circumstances which are affecting families and some parents, then there should be that small window that is open for them, because we cannot allow any child in South Africa. The law does not allow the factor that the children must stay home, because schooling is compulsory in South Africa. So we must make sure that all learners are at school. Chair, we experience problems in the big towns, and cities, and our big economic hub provinces like your Western Cape and Gauteng, because you find that by the time I had concluded the admission of my learners, my children in Mpumalanga, I find a job in Gauteng and they give me a house. I must leave Mpumalanga. So I cannot live alone. I must go with my children. So when we arrive there, that's why the influx of learners into these two big provinces or economic hub of the country, it becomes a bit problematic, but it affects all the towns in all the provinces, but at least we're able to solve that. So there are so many other instances which need a time that we can explain, or those that affect us, like your human settlement, where people are settled and not leaving space for new schools, and find that the people that are residing in that area are more than the capacity of the school. So when we put them on waiting list, it becomes problematic. And when we say, okay, your child can go as far as 50 kilometers away from where you live, it becomes also a problem. But these are the things that we deal with. Chair, let me not waste much time, because the presentation is here. We'll allude to some of the things that I'm mentioning now in this opening remarks. With your permission, Chair, I can allow DG, because DG is in the meeting, the team education, basic education is in the meeting. If you can allow me to allow DG to come in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable MEC of the Western Cape, and colleagues, both from the Portfolio Committee, DBE, and the Western Cape colleagues. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for providing the context that informs the presentation that you are going to make. Without any waste of time, I'm going to call on Mr. Ndlebe to take us through the presentation that has been shared with the Portfolio Committee. Deputy Minister is right. The presentation that we are making and the Chair covers also the Western Cape. I've had a meeting with the HOD, Mr. Walters of the Western Cape, on the 30th, and I think the intervention made by the Premier and the MEC has assisted a lot in helping to absorb some of the learners which were still not placed. But Mr. Ndlebe will take us through the details of the presentation. Mr. Ndlebe, thank you, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee, the Deputy Minister, the MEC of the Western Cape, senior management of the department. Good morning. There's our presentation, which will cover the outlines that are there. It's a long list in the outlines. Can we have it in a presentation mode, please? And let's move to the outline of the presentation. It might look long, but we're not going to be very long. We'll cover issues around legislation, our business processes, and what is important is the finalization of the admission process to indicate how far we have gone. Let's move to the next one. The next slide, it's just our aim is that we want to give the Portfolio Committee an update, an updated status report on the admission. That indicates what gives us what we're doing, where do we get the powers to do what we've done in terms of the admission of learners, which is the legislation framework from SASA, from NEPA, and from the approved business processes that we got permission to implement from HEDCOM and CEM. What you have there is it's an emphasis of why we normally do admissions a year prior children return to school. It is for simple planning purposes, where we determine our post-provisioning in time and our support material, trying to buy furniture, trying to indicate where we can need additional classrooms and additional teachers. But this doesn't always happen as we plan, as DG's introduction and DM's introduction has indicated, that sometimes we plan in advance, but the movement of learners throughout the year makes us not meet those targets that we have set for ourselves. But we do continue to plan. Let's move to the next one. What we do, honorable members, is that with the admission, we normally determine an admission period. indicating when parents can collect application forms, when they can send them back, when we begin the sifting and the placement of learners, when we will deal with the appeals from parents who are not happy with the placement of their learners and all that. So that becomes a management plan that every province goes through, and the advocacy telling parents exactly what to do from day one up to the last day until the learner gets placed in a school. So those processes were in place. We must indicate members that this might have been affected during the COVID-19 lockdown, but nevertheless, we managed to do that. I've mentioned issues around the admission process that is somehow managed from the DBE level with provinces. The business processes indicate exactly what the role of the DBE is going to be, what the role of the province is, what districts do, and what schools do. So that slide is a summary of the business processes. I think the reason why you have MEC Shefa now is because there is a role that the provinces play, and there's a role that schools play, and that one of the DBE being a guide and also ensuring that provinces are supported in terms of these processes. So you get that from our business processes that guide all processes, all provinces. Let's move to the next one. The 2020 admission process, which was preparing for 2021, was very challenging for us because it was the first time that we experienced the closure of schools for a very, very long time. We normally open our admission processes around April every year. The Western Cape will do it a little bit earlier. But April found us during the level 5 lockdown. Schools started having some life around August. So we missed that opening period of April for the admission. So we started very late. We then had to extend the closing date of the admission process. So that affected the actual finalization and the placement of learners just due to the late opening of schools, and then we had to extend. When we thought by November we're done, we realized that we were still far from completing. Can we move on? But nevertheless, the business processes were applied, where every province needs to guide parents on what they need to do. The circulars are made available to guide the process province by province. Each province will then have an appointed provincial official in charge of admission. Districts will also have the same. It will move down to schools. We'll have appeal teams. We'll have teams that look at advocacies. We'll have teams that will ensure that every learner gets placed. So all those things get ticked to indicate that they were done. If you go into every province website, you're going to get contact details of people that manage admissions. Even in the DBE website, you're going to get people that manage admissions, especially at provincial level and also at national level. So all provinces complied in terms of that. That slide is an indication of the different dates on which admissions opened and closed. I indicated that normally we'll start in April, but if you look at the slide, it begins to say we were 4 months late to start with admissions because schools were closed at that time. And schools started really around getting our feet around July, August, when all learners started to return to schools. So those are the different dates on which these admission processes were handled from school to school, and closing around about November, all of them, and begin the process of placing learners. Let's move to the next one. I indicated business processes and the circulars, and all provinces managed to have their circulars, and they were placed on the website for the public to understand how to follow on these admission queries and processes and having children placed in a school. So when we talk about admission, it's a very big process, but we thought for the sake of the portfolio committee, can we focus on entry grades, which are grade 1 and 8, taking into consideration that there are still internal movements and placement of learners in the grades in between. But for grade 1, to be specific, the biggest challenge in the sector is the placement of those learners. We ended up having about 1 million of those children in the sector in 2020, registering for 2021. And the figures are indicated there, with the Western Cape having to deal with 105,000 new learners that came into the system. Gauteng had to accommodate 131,000 learners just for grade 1 only. So you'll see the different figures per province. In grade 8, in total, we have placed 908,000 learners in the sector. So you could imagine if we were to include other learners in between. So normally when you get reports that so many learners are unplaced, it is mostly the grade 1s and the 8. And then you've got pockets there and there of grades that are in between. Now, all provinces manage to place learners around March. By March, we were confident that all provinces had settled. They have done the placement completely. But the Western Cape remained behind a little bit, where at that period, around March, there were still about 5,000 learners that were still not having schools. That number was reduced by April 13 to about 3,700. When we closed around the 24th, 25th of April, there were only about 1,228 learners that were left in the system. And when we reopened, we were only left with 109 learners. May I indicate, Chairperson, that the 109 are appearing in our records as unplaced, but these learners have been allocated to schools already. They know where they're supposed to go. The number is still remaining in our system because we still haven't received confirmation from the schools that the learners have reported or the parents have accepted an offer. So we will remove the 109 as soon as schools confirm that indeed the children have reported. So we can basically say we don't have known cases now of children that are unplaced or not linked with a school altogether. But the department has done a good job. DG has indicated that he engaged with the Western Cape to try and move those unplaced learners from 5,000 to 109 now. And all it needed was that political will from the MEC and the department to employ additional educators, about 400 of them, and added another 179 posts just to ensure that these children then have a teacher in front. The province also went ahead to open additional 46 classrooms in different schools as they are appointed educators to manage this backlog of unplaced learners. They went ahead and purchased about 129 mobile classrooms, and that is why that figure of 5,000 by March has now disappeared into nothing because of those interventions by the political heads and the department itself. The next slide is just an indication of how massive the movement of learners in the country is. I've just taken the two affected provinces, Western Cape and Gauteng, just to indicate that in total, people who came and knocked at the doors of the Western Cape, who were not in the Western Cape in 2019, were about 30,000. There were about 29,955. In Gauteng, 103 new learners that were never residents of Gauteng showed up at the doorstep steps of Gauteng. You then have a breakdown that in the Western Cape, the 29,000, where do they come from? You have 22,000 that are coming from the Eastern Cape. The Free State only donated about 410, and it goes on and on. And when you look at other countries, which are countries outside South Africa, obviously, there were about 1,805 people that came from foreign countries who came to the Western Cape. You look at Gauteng, the movement is even higher, where children that came from the Eastern Cape were about 12,000 only. But look at people that come from other countries that ended up in our schools in Gauteng, there were 25,000 all in all, and which then make Gauteng to have received that large number. We didn't include the number of internal movements in Gauteng, but you will see internal movements in the Western Cape, including children that were not at school, who suddenly came back, about 877 in the Western Cape. Chair, may I indicate that we were also affected by those parents who did not send their children back to school in 2020 in the name of homeschooling. Others were saying we'll do it ourselves. Others were saying we'll do it online. And suddenly come 2021, these children showed up on our doorsteps and we also have to cater for them. So what I'm trying to indicate is that the challenges of placing learners were compounded by the fact that we delayed the opening of schools. We opened schools around about 15 February. And it was only then when we began to have a sense of who's where, who is admitted where, and who's still outstanding. So that delayed until we finalized around March. We still have a challenge of English medium schools that are really a favorite, and schools that are in informal settlement, they receive more requests for placement than any other school. The challenge of good performing schools is still with us. They receive more applications than they can accommodate. And when learners have applied to those schools and schools have taken their quotas, it's so difficult to redirect these learners to other schools. And that's why we take time to ensure that everybody gets placed. Children began to move from independent schools as parents lost their jobs. Parents had their salaries cut and they couldn't afford the school fees in independent schools. Then February 2021, have seen a large number of those children at our doorsteps seeking admission. Hence, we took long to deal with it. There were also late applications because during the lockdowns, parents just relaxed, forgot about even checking the newspapers, the newsletters, and they just relaxed without applying for the children. The hit as hard provinces are obviously Gauteng and Western Cape, but we have seen an increase in the Free State, only in the Bloemfontein area. We have seen an increase in the Northern Cape, only in the Kimberley area, that they have taken too long to place those children for the reasons that we have indicated. Can you move to the next slide, please? So that's what made us not to allocate schools for these children in good time. Provinces worked hard to place those learners under difficult circumstances. Sometimes you may see a very big number, like 5,000 in April in the Western Cape, but it may not be 5,000 per se because there are duplicates there. Parents who have applied to several schools, and the moment you admit them, they don't come back to indicate that they have been taken, especially in provinces where they do not use electronic ways of dealing with admissions. So the cleanup process does bring down the number when we remove the duplicates. Provinces then dealt with placement of learners through opening walk-in centers. where parents came and said, I still don't have a school. And there will be a team there from district officials who will quickly look at where the available spaces are and place learners immediately. There were also negotiations with schools and governing bodies just to increase the class size, where the department really pleaded and said, you are the only school in this vicinity. We still have so many unplaced learners. Can we just squeeze them in? Because we'd rather have them in the classroom rather than them roaming around the street. So that's one of the strategies that we used. And the others of increasing classes, buying mobile classrooms, in Gauteng, they give schools money to build classrooms because there is no land to build schools. So they rather use the available space in the schoolyard and give schools money. It saves time. It saves time on procurement processes and all that when it is admitted at school level. And a lot of teachers were added from February until now just to cover these admission challenges that we had. We had for the first time this year enforcing the registration and the placement of undocumented learners as we were instructed by the High Court in the Eastern Cape. So we have been enforcing that schools admit those learners who are undocumented as instructed. Let's move to the next one. The new improvement in the system is that we had Gauteng, Western Cape doing registration for grade 1 and 8 online specifically. We then welcome the Northern Cape in 2020, and we're looking forward to welcoming other provinces to do admissions online. Because if it's online, the issue of duplicate numbers then gets resolved very quickly. If it's online, we're able to get those stats of the hotspots. We're able to get data of who comes from where, as we have indicated the number of learners that come from place to place. And if it's done online, it becomes very easy. And where we are now, we have begun working for 2021 admissions. Our processes have kicked in, and we're working with provinces to ensure that our placement should be better than what we have now, because I think the sector has settled in terms of children coming back to school. And lastly, we are presenting this to the portfolio committee, giving them the update. And that is our update in the sector, chairperson and members of the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. Quinton.
Thank you very much. Dean?
I've just finished presenting now. As you call, I was saying thank you, closing.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Yeah. This is the presentation. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Ndlovu. Thank you, Titi. Okay. Chairperson, over to you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, DG. DM, DG, and the team. I'm not sure now whether getting the MSc would still be relevant based on the presentation that we have received, or should I then allow members, if there's anything then specific to her, because she is here now, to raise probably issues or clarities with her. Can I note down, honourable members?
Chair, I want to suggest that if maybe there is a new information from what has been reported, Mrs. Schaefer can be given an opportunity just to add if there is, but if there's none, it's okay.
Okay, DM. MEC?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, if I may just make one or two comments. Thank you very much for that presentation. And it is correct as up to date as yesterday. I do just want to correct what might be an incorrect perception by Ms. Ndlebe's comment that it was just extra political will from myself. It certainly wasn't that. We had very, very problematic, we were in a very, very difficult financial situation. And when we got into our new financial year, it did enable us to try and shuffle around some money, which we effectively are really delaying the problem for next year unless we get additional funding. So we have been having meetings with our provincial treasury also urgently on that matter. But we certainly have made extremely good progress. And I would maybe just like to ask Mr. Archie Lewis, who is on here from my, sorry, I forgot, I'm being very rude. I forgot to greet the Deputy Minister, sorry, Chairperson, and the officials from DDE, if I may just do that. Mr. Lewis is our DDG for Institutional Development and Coordination, and he has been dealing very specifically with admissions. And perhaps if he could just give the latest update, particularly on the issue of the Easter River learners who are choosing to learn under a tree because they have been allocated places. And that also is a concern for me, that people are playing political games with children's education. But if I may just ask Mr. Lewis to just give the committee a briefing on that particular issue specifically, Chairperson, then I would be grateful. Thank you.
You can proceed.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair and Deputy Minister, the DG, and all members of the committee. Am I audible?
Yes,
okay. Just, I think I concur with the presentation that currently we are sitting with 109 learners not placed. But it's not that the learners have not been placed. The parents were issued with letters, and the onus is now on the parent to take the learner to the school. The schools have been informed that they will receive so many learners with these names to these grades, and until such time that the parent report to the school and admit the learner, then the learner's name will be removed from the system. We had over and above the challenges that the minister has indicated, you know, the two critical pressure points were the two in Umfuleni at Rosendal House and one in Forest Village in Easter River, which were baptized later the School Under the Trees. The School Under the Trees, our first engagement with parents in Forest Village was we recorded 210 learners. And those 210 learners we placed successfully. But unfortunately, as we placed those learner numbers grew. And at some point, we ended up with 600 names in Forest Village given to us. And we verified those names and we found many duplications of learners already in other schools and eventually cleaned that list to 336 learners. And it was with those 336 learners that we've dealt now with all those learners. The last were a number of 117 learners that we have allocated letters to parents and instructed them or requested them to report to schools. So that is the one issue. The Rosendal House School was reported to us via the media, and it was reported that there were about 1,800 learners. That was round about the end of February. We had numerous meetings then with the management of Rosendal House. Rosendal House is an education institute belonging to the Department of Higher Education. So they were concerned about the spaces in the institution, so we engaged them. But we also engaged the at that stage teachers and community leaders that were gathering those learners in Rosendal House. And we requested them in February already that they need to provide us the information of those learners so that we can verify that information and so that it can allow the WCD to place those learners. Now, despite a protracted engagement with them over a period of weeks, they promised us the information, but the information was never forthcoming. We only received that information last week. So if we are saying that we have placed all the learners, then it must be understood that there's the unconfirmed, and they've given us a list of 2,011 learners. And the department is now in a process to verify those learners. And I've just engaged this morning with the staff dealing with this, and they've indicated that of the 2,011 learners, 488 of those learners are indeed registered at schools in the Western Cape, and they've attended those schools in February. So we will have to find out exactly what is happening and how many real learners are there to be placed at Rosendal House. But the solution that was provided with the engagement between the minister and our HOD and Treasury made provision that we will be able to place those learners if we can verify them and get to their detail, that's the date of birth, the grades they are in, the report cards, the previous schools, the addresses, etc. So that is that one that we need to deal with. Otherwise, we've allocated teachers, and we are lucky in the sense that the last number of learners that we have admitted to schools, about 7,500, we have asked schools to place these learners in the meantime whilst we are busy with the provisioning of mobile units, because that takes a time. The teachers were allocated to schools immediately, and the schools were requested to adapt their temporary revised education plans, the TREPs that we've been using in the COVID context. So all the learners are not at the school every day. And to help these learners to get admitted so that learners can start get a feel for education for this year, and there are other curriculum support rolled out to these schools in the form of lesson packs, special lesson packs for these learners for all across the grades. Our district officials have been tasked to provide guidance to these schools, and then also to monitor the progress of these learners, especially as soon as they write some forms of assessments so that we can determine. We've also put on hold or available the psychosocial support team of the department, which is present in every district over and above our head office team, to provide any form of psychosocial support to these learners if needed. Chair, I think I will stop there, and if there are other questions, then I'm more than willing to respond to it.
Thank you very much, MEC, and your options from the Western Cape. Members, can I note hands? I am noting that Tatemurua Sehla, Honorable Zuela.
Chairperson, I also have Honorable Sukers, questions, which I can read out to you once you're ready.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, and Mama Sabela? Okay. In that order, then, can you allow that the Murat Sabela?
Chairperson, good morning. And good morning to the all members, of course, all members on the platform. We want to take this opportunity, of course, Chairperson, to welcome and appreciate the presentation as made. it is assisting. And but it's a very equally very important that we must say to the Department of Basic Education that you see there are a spontaneous response on each and every challenge that we encounter in education. It's encouraging. And Deputy Minister and your team, we want to say thank you for this. You see, we are in the middle of, almost in the middle of the year. But the fact that we are able to reflect on the challenge of admissions, it must be embraced by all and everybody. You see, when Mr. Ndebe made the presentation, he made mention of some of the causes of the challenges we face, and you cannot question that. It is clear. When parents do not have money to take their kids to the independent schools, surely they will withdraw them, and then for purposes of bringing them to public education. And it is our responsibility. At no stage should we give a posture that we cannot admit learners, let alone where they are coming from and what they were doing in the past. And the department appears to be equal to the task in as far as that is concerned. I just want to raise these two things here, Chairperson, that year in and year out, this issue has become a challenge. And with special reference, the admission, special references to Gauteng and the Western Cape. And the Western Cape today on the platform, they are saying, and if it, that is something which Ren also indicated, Corinne, it was due to the intervention by the Premier in the Western Cape that this problem or the challenge was addressed, especially this year. Now my question is, the Premier may not intervene every year. What sustainable intervention strategies is the department, especially in the Western Cape, having so that we will be able going forward to address this challenge? I'm saying so because when they talk about the solution, they refer much to the issue of the mobile classrooms. Can we have a plan from the Western Cape of how they are intending to address the issue of the challenge of admissions like we had in Gauteng? You see, Gauteng last week when we met them, they told us that they've made an audit of all open spaces, which spaces they can be able to make inroads in acquiring them so that they can build schools as they address the challenge of infrastructure. The second issue which I feel I must raise here, Chairperson, is with regard to the issue of learner transport. You see, the challenge of our education is such that it's true you will find learners having to pass a number of schools in their neighborhood skirts in order to go to far-fetched schools. And that in itself has got a direct impact to the department, because the department, if that is going to be the thing now, they must source out funds for scholar transport. Maybe it is about time that you see the inequality which COVID has exposed to us must teach us a lesson to make improvements of all schools. Sometimes learners pass those schools for a number of reasons. Either the schools are performing poorly, or number two, the schools are dilapidated. There is no parent who can take his or her children to a dilapidated school. what measures should we be doing in order to reduce the challenge of learners having to travel longer distance when they leave other schools in their neighborhoods? The last one is on the online registration. You see, Chairperson, let us condone and recommend the online registration as proposed on this platform today. They are saying Northern Cape, and the good news, because it's your province, and the Western Cape are upfront in as far as online registrations are concerned. And the encouragement is saying, can we encourage other provinces to do the same? Now my challenge here is, not all provinces are equal. And you go to the KZN, you go to the Eastern Cape, you come to my home ground, Limpopo. A majority of our schools are predominantly in rural areas. When you talk about online registration, it is likely going to be a challenge. I would say, in as much as we would encourage our schools to utilize online registration, it's true, because of the inequality that we are faced with from time to time, we should not close room for those who have to have a manual registration, having to walk in registration, because some other schools may misinterpret this to say, when parents go there to make a physical registration, they say, no, we have said online registration, while ignoring the fact that inequality is still the norm within our societies. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Sewena.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to colleagues. Well, let me also join Honorable Rasetla on appreciating the presentation that we have received and the efforts that the department has put in place to ensure that all deserving learners are placed in schools. It is important, and we understand that there are a myriad of challenges that probably contribute to the delay of learners not finding schools. But then, with regard to the 129 learners that are not yet confirmed to be in school, or rather the department is waiting for confirmation from the parents, what probably I would like to find out is whether the department is in a position to confirm that indeed the parents of the learners did receive the notification that their learners have been placed. And again, probably I just want to put it to the department to say, what could be the possible cause of the parents not responding speedily upon the receipt of such SMSs or information that the learners have been placed? Because I'm just thinking that maybe some policies or language policies in these provinces may, or school policies in these schools may be exclusionary in nature, that even if the learner is placed, probably parents give due regard to the language policies of the schools and so on. And possibly the question would be to the department, is the department in a position to ensure that school policies, that the language policies that are put in place are not exclusionary and it's able to allow all learners access to the school? If so, how? Thank you, Chair.
Mama Sabela?
Thank you. Hello?
Yes, you can proceed, Mama Sabela.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear us, Fighter?
Hello?
Yo? Oh. What is going on now? Okay. Llewellyn, can you mute her in the meantime, and can you raise then the questions from Sukar?
Yes, Chairperson, I'll do so. Thank you. Honorable Sukar says that it is apparent to us from the admission crisis which takes place each year that MEC is unable to adequately comply with obligations placed on them in terms of Section 3.3 of SASSA, and that there is a need for oversight from the Ministry in this regard. It is further unclear whether adequate plans are being put in place to ensure compliance with the respective MEC's relevant statutory duties. In the light of this concern, the following questions. Whether each of the MECs of education have provided DBE with the requisite Section 3.4 reports, setting out the steps that will be taken to remedy the lack of capacity in their provinces for 2021 and beyond. If so, could copies of these reports be made available? Details as to steps, if any, which the National Department has taken to address the admissions crisis and to ensure that provincial education departments comply with their obligation to place all learners in grade-appropriate schools, and the latest statistics of unplaced learners disaggregated for each grade per province. Lastly, does the figure in the presentation include learners attending special schools and learners other than in grade 1 and 8? Thank you, Chair. Those were the questions.
Okay, can we try to see if we are getting Mama Sabela? Honorable Mama Sabela?
Chairperson, no, this is a sabotage. No.
You can proceed.
Hello?
You can proceed? Mama Sabela? Okay.
Chairperson, maybe yes? I could request Honorable Masha Bella to maybe just SMS or WhatsApp me those questions and I can try and get them through to the department.
Okay. Oh yeah. That's if she's able to hear us, probably you must check that. Let me also just raise a few issues with DBE. First, by saying that I think as the committee, let us acknowledge and I don't know what to say because this movement of from 5,000 learners, the 5,000 admissions from zero, just from March to May now, and it's just mid-May. I think I am interested in understanding from Western Cape and DPE, can this story be shared with us? How could it happen so quickly that all of a sudden you have managed to accommodate 5,000 learners in a month and a half if you couldn't accommodate them when the year started? What changed in between? Because I'm raising this because I don't want to assume that it is because you have known as DBE and as Western Cape that we are going to have this presentation. And that was rushed because you wanted probably to impress us. I hope that is not the case. That's why I'm saying I am interested in understanding what had happened very swiftly in a period of a month and a half, if it could not happen in January, because I don't think there were schools built in a month and a half. If you couldn't accommodate them in January or February when the school started, what made you to be able to accommodate them? And secondly, there is an issue that is raised on slide 17, which I just ask the department to unpack it, pertaining the court judgment that we have raised on 2019. Can you just unpack what was the issue? What was the issue there? And then the concern that I want to raise is the issue of undocumented learners. There is a slide, I think it's slide 14, where it's raised that Gauteng has got 25,000 undocumented learners. And I think last week when we were in Pretoria, the MEC of Limpopo had raised that they've got about 40,000 undocumented learners as the province. And I think it has something to do also with our borders. But what is the relationship of DBE with Home Affairs with regards to these undocumented learners? And is there a way that possibly as a department that you are benchmarking with other countries the issue of undocumented learners, and how are other countries probably, if you have done probably that benchmark, are dealing with them with this issue? I think it's a concern, man. I'm really concerned that we've got learners that are attending school every day, but we are unable to trace them. They are not documented anyway. And probably if we can get a sense of, do we have such a challenge in other provinces except for the two that I have just mentioned? So those are the issues that from my side I would want to raise. Let me just check Honorable Mashabela for the last time. If we don't, then I will hand over to you, DM, to lead the responses.
Chairperson, we have Honorable Nodada as well.
Oh, okay. Honorable Nodada?
Good morning, Chair. Sorry, man. That thing with the Minister still underpinning your network issues there. Thank you, everybody. Chair, I don't know if I'm audible, Chair.
Yes, you are.
All right, Chair. No, thanks, Chair. Chair, it's just one question for me, personally. I think thanks for the presentation from the department, as well as the Western Cape. I think it's quite clear, and I think it clears some of our concerns regarding the placement of learners. And I think the work that has been done must be commended, but also beyond commending the work that has been done to make sure that the basic rights of those learners are not, you know, infringed upon. I would like to understand one issue. I think the MEC did touch on it briefly, but I mean, I think about the passing, you know, to indicate that there are some financial issues, you know, that are linked to the challenges that they have when it comes to the placement of learners and, you know, providing, you know, the necessary supporting services to the amount then, you know, that would need to be placed, you know, which then places strain. If I can just ask the MEC to just expand and make us understand what do you mean by there are financial challenges that you get as the Western Cape Department of Education, and how, you know, can those be remedied, and what support can be given maybe from the Department of Basic Education at the national level, what support can be given so that in future we are proactive about, you know, making sure that the necessary support, whether it be classrooms, transporters, Honorable Moratsaha mentioned, you know, can be curbed forward. You know, what causes those financial challenges, and what solutions can be put in place and make sure that there is the necessary support for that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Have you managed to get Mama Sabela Libelin?
No, Chairperson. I have sent her the message. She hasn't responded as yet.
Okay. DM, can I hand over to you then?
Thank you, Chair. I will just give
an overview answers to the questions, because some of the questions were already answered during the presentation. Like the question, okay, the MEC will answer for itself, but in our presentation, we indicated that the Premier of the Western Cape had to intervene. When we budget in the sector, we budget per learner. So, but as the province, not only Western Cape, but all provinces who will receive learners from other provinces and other countries, that has a bearing on the finances of the department. That's why Mr. Ndlela, when he presented, he indicated that we do all this admission for administration purposes, for post-provisioning. And when you, I just want to give a simple example that when I have 35 learners, it means I qualify for one teacher, and which is a process that is done by September. Then when in January now I find that I have 60 learners, which means I must get an additional teacher, and it's not in my budget because my budget was informed by the number of learners that I have. And the school nutrition program, the LTSM, everything, because the books are delivered a year before. They are not delivered after January. They are delivered by August, latest September and October. By the time, because we believe that at that time, admission is completed and the number, these are the number of learners, and we order books and everything in line with the number of learners. But I think MEC will add. Chair, you spoke something about the undocumented learners. That is still a problem, but we are working together with the Department of Home Affairs. We started a campaign that we launched last year, which is a campaign that was there even before, but we relaunched it in June 2020. We were traveling with the Deputy Minister for Home Affairs in all the provinces, in all the districts. So, but we may not always be there. So the officials continue to do the work. And we are with Advocate Misa and Mr. Ndlebe. Will also allude to that. The number is, if I can only single out grade 12, because that's where we put more emphasis as they are going to exit the system. And if they want to go to higher education, they must have identity documents. So last year, we had a total number of 15,551 grade 12 learners who did not have ID documents. And that number, we worked out together with the Department of Home Affairs. It got reduced to 1,890. They processed 7,543. And the remaining balance was 2,217. But the challenge again, those learners that we went to schools to help them apply for their identity documents, they don't go collect. As things stand now, in our last week meeting with Home Affairs, they had 1,890 IDs that have not been collected by the same learners that we went to the district and schools. So even the because in some other instances, when the officials of Home Affairs go to schools and circuits, they are denied entrance by the Department of Education, Basic Education. Then we wrote a circular to all the schools to say they must allow, because now we are not only focusing in grade 12, we are focusing from grade 10, if there are those learners who are 16 years and above doing grade 10, who are to be assisted to have the ITs. But this matter, Chair, is two times. These ones that we're speaking about are the South African citizens who do not have identification. Then there are those learners, so remember the court case, that we must admit every learner. And find that those learners, they don't have any form of identification. They came into the country illegally. Home Affairs is still working on that because as things stand, Home Affairs is unable to help such learners of except those immigrants who have legal documents to be in the country. But those who do not have legal documentation to be in the country is still a problem. But we are working on that together with Home Affairs. So, Chair, let me allow the team to cover those that I did not cover. Thank you, Chair. Over to you, DG and the team. Oh, MEC first. Then DG and the team will do the rest.
May I go ahead, Chairperson?
Yes, we are given the opportunity to respond. Yeah, Chairperson, I think
okay, thank you.
The opportunity.
Thank you, Dan. I think the first question regarding the plan for the Western Cape, I'm going to leave to Mr. Lewis, but obviously any plan we have is dependent on additional money, which we have been saying for quite some time. And also, Mr. Lewis, if you can deal with the one from Honourable Siwela regarding whether the parents, whether we know that the parents have in fact received the notification and the language issue. As far as the other question for us, from a chairperson. Chairperson, we only knew about this meeting on Saturday night, which is the first time we were invited to it. So there's certainly no way that we, whatever we do, was motivated in any way by the appearance before this committee because we didn't know about it. We've been concerned about the placement of learners right from the start, and that is why the Premier did intervene, because it was at my request when we could see that we just simply were not able to come, we were not able to place learners at the time because we haven't got sufficient budget, which is when he arranged the meeting for us with the Provincial Treasury. And as I mentioned earlier, we also did start a new financial year, which enabled us to move some money around, but that is not solving the problem long term. As far as Honourable Nodada is concerned, yes, I would be quite happy to expand on the financial issues. As you've mentioned, we have had a lot of people coming to the province for quite a number of years, and it's been consistent every year, around about 20,000 extra learners. Now, initially, there was a problem with the provincial equitable share formula because it simply didn't provide the money to follow the learners. And there has been some change over the last few years from National Treasury, but the problem is it's always delayed. So we get the learners now, we have to provide for them now, but the money doesn't come to us until a few years down the line. But then as soon as we get money there, then money gets taken away from us in other respects. Grants get cut, our baseline gets cut. We've had huge budget cuts over the last few years. And it's extremely difficult for us to plan when we don't know from sometimes a few months after each other what money are we actually going to have in our budget. It's also affecting our ability to build schools because we can't plan adequately because money keeps on being removed in one way or another. And what's also affected us a lot over the last few years is, first of all, the drought in the Western Cape, where we had to divert 300 million rand from our infrastructure budget to drought relief measures and putting in water tanks and so on to schools. And last year, because of the COVID issues, the hygiene, sanitizers, masks and so on, that was costed about another 450 million rand, which we did not get any of from the national government, national treasury anyway. So that had to come from our existing resources. And the only place where that came is from infrastructure yet again. So it's putting our infrastructure under a huge amount of pressure. And it is causing us to be in breach of our obligation, which we are very well aware of. So it's very concerning to us that there doesn't seem to be a long-standing problem. And we are also aware that nationally there is no additional funding overall. But what I would really like this committee to do to assist us is that whenever I have raised it with the National Minister, she says National Treasury tells her that there are inefficiencies in the sector. And if the committee could start interrogating what those inefficiencies are so that we could remove them, that would be very helpful because then we could get the money in the places where it's needed most. I am aware, for example, of about 2,000 schools in the Eastern Cape that have been earmarked for closure but haven't been closed. And I mean, that must be taking a huge amount of money away from learners that need it. So thank you for that question. And it would be very helpful if the committee could do that. If I may just ask Mr. Lewis to just answer those other two questions, please. Thank you, Chairperson and DM.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chair. Let me see what was left. The one was the question from Honorable Morwa Chela. Sorry if that pronunciation is not correct. The Minister spoke about the budget, about the fact that mostly our infrastructure budget was redirected in 2017-18-18-19 for the drought provisioning, and then last year for PPEs. So I would say the basis of our challenges to provide sufficient infrastructure is a financial one, and I will try to qualify what I'm saying. And it's not that we are willfully get less money. See, the money that we use for infrastructure comes from two sources. The one is the education infrastructure grant, directly from DBE. And then we normally supplement that by a percentage of money that we receive from the provincial equitable share. But the funding for infrastructure doesn't keep up with the learner growth in the province. And the learner growth to me is a combination of two things. The one is, yes, they are in migration into the province, as was indicated in the presentation. But it also has to do with our own efforts in the province to retain our learners in the system. In other words, learners remain longer in the system, and your learners from your primary school goes through to the high schools. Further, I would say is that, and it's more historic, is that historically there are less high schools than primary schools. And because the throughput rate and the retention rate improves, we get more learners from our primary schools into our high schools. And our high schools get saturated and cannot provide sufficient spaces for the learners. And then because of the budget, we cannot keep up to build new schools, because the infrastructure budget has to deal with two critical issues. The one is the demand for new schools, but the second one is because we have almost in the country some of the oldest schools, is that the maintenance of our schools in the province have been neglected. And that again was not willfully, but it was to deal with the demand of the learner growth. So we had over years had to channel money to build new schools and therefore neglected the maintenance of buildings to such an extent that our buildings, if we do not maintain them and attend to them as a province, as the government and as a sector, we will be facing serious challenges of the health and safety of learners and teachers in our buildings. So there's fine balance that the education department has to find to deal with the maintenance of the assets as well as to provide new. And the budget that we get every year is just not sufficient to deal with it. So what are the sustainable solutions? The one is it will help to get more money, but we understand that the economy is under pressure. SARS is collecting perhaps less of money than intended. And therefore, National Treasury has got less money to give to departments and to provinces. So all in all, we understand that the pressures are there, but also the obligation on us as administrators in the sector is to find ways and means to deal with it. One of the possible solutions, and I hope that the DG can weigh in here, is the announcement by DBE to look at online schooling. And I believe that is one solution, but I think it's a very complicated one. There are many, many variables to try to find solutions. It's your teachers online, your exams online, your assessments online. And then with my own little bit of knowledge and experience of what is happening in higher education is, although those learners will be out of school and in an online school, is I believe somewhere there should be, we should make provision to have face-to-face meetings with those learners and maybe to have the online school learners during school holidays back into school and beef up and consolidate some of their learnings. But that's a process, and I hope that process will help us to deal with our infrastructure challenges. The second one is as a department, we are seriously investing in our ITC so that we can improve and accelerate blended learning. We believe that blended learning is also a part of the solution to the challenge. Although, again, we will wrap our heads around this, my own view of blended learning, for example, that's not necessarily the WCD's position, is that a school that can normally accommodate 1,000 learners, if the school is fully equipped to provide blended learning, then I ask myself, what prevents that school to take in 2,000 learners rather than 1,000 learners? And to provide then blended learning to those learners, in other words, you have, under normal circumstances, I'm ignoring the COVID context at the moment, to have your 1,000 learners at the school for 1 week, and the next week you have the other 1,000 back at school, and when you rotate the 1,000 learners, in the week that they are not at school, they are on blended learning, online learning, and they continue their work. It's not as simple as what I said, because if a school has got 2,000 learners, the school might demand teaching resources, teachers for all 2,000 learners, and those are some of the critical elements of all the modalities that one should look at. As I said, it's a financial issue and it's a growth issue. For example, if we take the growth of 19,000 this year into the system, then 19,000 learners actually translate to 19,000 schools of 1,000 learners each. Now we never plan for it. On average, we complete 5 to 6 schools per year, so it gives us a backlog already. Your 19,000 learners equate to about 475 new teachers. The teacher basket gets finalized around August, and schools get informed September about the staff establishment. So if that basket has been allocated and you need another 475 teachers at the beginning of a year, the budget has been depleted, then it creates certain challenges to us, and that is what we were confronted with. Confirmation that the parents received letters. Yes, we can confirm that the Forest Village parents, the last 117 that we know of, those parents received letters, and we expect those parents to report those learners to schools. Do we know why parents do not respond? That one I cannot answer. There might be various reasons for it, but I do not want to venture any response to that. In terms of the language policy, I can with a large certainty indicate that most of our schools in the province are dual medium schools. In other words, they offer a LALT, language of learning and teaching, in Afrikaans and English. Here and there we will get exclusive English schools or a few exclusive Afrikaans schools. So most of our learners will be able to manage at our dual medium schools, except where we might have challenges in the foundation phase where learners must get education in the mother tongue. And that we tried to resolve, but from grade four onwards, the learners is in dual medium schools. The detail of the unplaced learners, Honorable Sukers, all that I can say is that when we report unplaced learners, we are referring to learners not in a school from grade 1 to 12, the whole sector. We are not just looking at grade 1 and 8. Special schools are currently, we are looking at a system to include the learners into online. The difficulty with our special learners is that special learners, there's a certain process that these learners get assessed to determine in which schools with which disability they need to be placed. So it's a little bit more complicated than just telling a parent to enroll a learner or register a learner online. But we are in the process to see how we can accommodate special learners, their applications and the registration onto our current online system. The last question was from Honorable Mashabela, who asked, you know, what happened between March and April that suddenly the learners were placed from 5,000 to 109. Simple answer is that we received money, which is our biggest stumbling block. And with the money that was appropriated, we could enable the provision of 129 mobile units and an additional 179 teachers. And that is what enabled us to place the learners. And as I said, although the learners, the mobiles are not there, understandably, it takes time to place them, but the schools agreed to take in those learners, and by means of amending their temporary revised education plans, those learners have been accommodated and find themselves in schools. Thank you, Chair.
DM, are you done?
Well, Chair, let me come in whilst you're looking for DM.
Oh, no, I am in. Right. I thought Titi would be coming to conclude on the TBE part. Yes.
Okay. Most of the questions have really been covered. The issues that have been responded to by Western Cape are not necessarily a peculiarity of the Western Cape. You do find them in other provinces as well. But as explained by DM, the issue of large numbers that are to be placed are more peculiar to Western Cape and Gauteng, and that has been part of our history. But what compounded the challenge was what was explained by Mr. Ndlebe. You had many learners who were out of school because of factors related to COVID-19, but you also had large movements of people which were not in keeping with the historical trend. Even if you are to plan, planning is informed by historical trends. And you make maybe provision for 10 or 15% based on what the historical trends are telling you, because that's the science that you use to plan. And if it goes beyond your historical trends, then you are unlikely to plan properly, which is what we think Western Cape experienced. And Chair, also, I can confirm that I met with the HOD of the Western Cape, as I indicated when we started the presentation, on the 30th of April. And at that time, a few days before that, I think 3 or 4 days, the Premier had already convened a meeting with the Department and National Treasury to find the solutions that the MEC and Mr. Lewis have shared with the meeting.
So it had nothing to do with this meeting, as the MEC explained. At that stage, there was no knowledge that the Western Cape would come to this meeting. And we're also responding to queries which were brought to our attention. And I was directed by the minister to go and meet with the HOD. And the HOD did indeed confirm what Mr. Lewis and the MEC have explained. We must also remember that there are many variables that inform the or that account for the challenge of the learner numbers. The MEC has also explained the issue of the Fiscal Finance Commission, which do come to your committee, Chair, if I remember, at least once a year. And some of these things you need to also raise with them. Changes in terms of the FFC formula, which has to do with learners who are eligible for attending school or who are of school-going age. It takes a while before it follows learners. And that complicates planning again, because you can plan. If you don't have the resources to execute your plan, it's going to make it difficult for you to respond to the challenges as quickly as you'd like to do. That also relates to the issue of learner transport raised by Honorable Murat Setla. Honorable Murat Setla, the number of learners who are benefiting from learner transport, the last time I checked, it was 80% of those learners who do need transport. You still have about 20%. But one of the inefficiencies, MEC Schaefer, is that a large number of those learners are essentially learners who are fed by the state based on the choice of parents, not the need, the choice. And I can pull out many examples. Some of those learners are even fed from their places of residence to schools elsewhere where parents have made their choices. Those are some of the inefficiencies that indeed we need to deal with, as Treasury indicated. And you do find them across the length and breadth of the country. So essentially, taxpayers are paying for choices, not needs. And that's an issue that we need to deal with. It's also linked, as somebody indicated, to schools that are perceived to be providing quality education, which is an issue that we need to deal with, that quality education should be available in all public schools in particular, so that we're able to deal with the issue of parents moving their children from one point to the other. So, Deputy Minister, those are the things, and the issue of maybe Honorable Chair raised the issue of the court ruling, which is on slide number 17. It's the same court ruling that the Deputy Minister referred to, which involved the Eastern Cape about undocumented learners. The real problem here is what our Constitution allows. Our Constitution does not allow us to exclude learners who are undocumented. And these undocumented learners are siphoning resources which should be benefiting learners in South Africa, which are learners who are supposed to benefit. And the issue of undocumented learners, Chairperson, is you find it across all provinces that are bordering neighboring states. You get it in all of them. And we've used the example in your committee to say, for instance, in Mpumalanga, Deputy Minister can even give you many stories when she was MEC there, where you'd find learners would come for about 2 to 3 months to collect stationery and they go back to Mozambique. And the same applies to learners who could be coming from Swaziland. The same applies to learners who could be coming from Lesotho. And the same, I can mention Zimbabwe and so on, Limpopo and so on. You do have that, but our Constitution does not allow us to exclude those learners on the basis of the fact that they are undocumented. And that's how we lost the case in 2019. We are not only working with Home Affairs. We went to court with Home Affairs. We lost that case based on what our Constitution is saying. Our Constitution is one of the best in the world. But my own experience or view is that it's one of those few constitutions, if there are any of that type, that will say that the country belongs to all who live in it. It does not specify in saying that it belongs to South Africans. And maybe it's an issue that public representatives can debate in Parliament and look at how you can protect the resources of the country and make sure that those who are deserving in the country and those who are even legal migrants, because these undocumented learners are also accompanying illegal migrants. And based on the fact that they are protected by the Constitution, nothing can be done about them. Safe to say, they have to be accommodated in our schools, given resources that should be benefiting learners who are legally in South Africa and who are children of South Africans. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, MEC and colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is our response. No, thank you very much, DM, MEC, Shafa, and DG. Thank you very much for the responses. Members, I think we have exhausted this matter. Not unless there is someone with a follow-up on the matter, but I think they have adequately responded to all the questions that we have raised. In the absence then of hands, let me thank the MEC for being part of our meeting and for all the information that you have given to us. Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, DG, for the responses that you have given to us. And I must thank you very much for being the host last week in Pretoria. We had a very successful oversight. Thank you so much. On that note then, I think I would allow DVE and the Western Cape to leave the meeting so that we can proceed as members in adopting the minutes, the previous minutes.
Thank you so much, Chair, and goodbye.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Deputy Minister, and Honorable MEC. Chair, on a lighter note, I thought Honorable Murat Setla accorded me the status of being a member so I can remain.
Thank you very much, Chair and members.
You must be elected.
I'm gone. I have no ambition to be a public representative.
No, you're welcome. Members, DG, no one must stop you.
No. I'm gone.
You're welcome. There are many vacancies there. You're welcome.
Okay, you can flag then the minutes, Llewellyn. Members, these are the minutes of the 16th of March. We had a meeting through virtual platform where we had a briefing on the status report of early childhood development. The first page is the attendance of the members. And it was a meeting between ourselves and Committee on Social Development. So that is the attendance. That's the attendance. And then we opened and welcomed the meeting. We welcomed everybody, and then we had an address by the Minister of DPE, and then we had a briefing by DPE on the early childhood development and the migration. And then those are the committee observations by the members. And then we had responses which were led by the minister. And Minister Zulu responded as well. And the acting DG of Social Development, Mr. Nkun, responded. And then the Director General of Basic Education responded as well. And then we concluded the meeting, and then we considered the minutes of the we considered the previous meeting, and then there was a meeting that was scheduled for the 17th of March, and then we adjourned this meeting at 11:24. Is there any member that it wants to correct the minutes? If none, can we adopt the minutes? Can we adopt the minutes, members?
Chairperson?
Yes.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Rosuela. Any seconder? Any seconder? Ayini, Baba Band? At once? Rosetta?
Yeah.
No people in the meeting.
Actually, I'm here, but I'm not going to second this because I was not part of it.
Okay. All right. Now, what do we do? Can I second?
Chair.
Because it looks like people have left the meeting.
I second.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Honorable Adwans then is seconding the minutes. Now we are moving to the minutes of the 17th of March. We had a meeting with the Select Committee where we had the budget review of the department, including its annual performance plan. Those are the members that were in the meeting on page 1 and page 2. It was a meeting between ourselves and the Select Committee. Those pages are the attendance, and then we opened the meeting. And we had an address by the minister, Mutsega, and we had an input by the DG, Mueli, and we had a briefing by the department on the annual plans, and then we concluded the meeting. And then we considered the minutes of the all those dates, the 2nd of March, the 3rd of March, the 5th of March, and then we attended the meeting at 11:48. Any corrections? In the absence of corrections, can we adopt the amendments?
I adopt, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adwans. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much, Royce Wela. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We finished this meeting very early. Nice. It's just 13 minutes after 11. So thank you very much to the Honorable Members. I sincerely want to thank every member that was part of the oversight last week. We had a very successful oversight. We managed to deal with a number of issues that we were supposed to do. Actually, we finished all our meetings that we were supposed to do. And we are, like we said, having a very short term this term. We're going to be off again, I think, in the first week of June, and we will be back only in August. But in between, we are probably going to have an oversight again in the Western Cape. That's if it's approved by the House Chairperson. But we will inform one another as time goes and as the preparations are underway. So thank you very much, Honorable Members, and thank you very much to our support staff for the meeting. The meeting is now adjourned.